Teshuvah Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Metzia Daf Nun Ches. We're going to begin about 18 lines up from the bottom of Nun Zayin Omid Beis, and we continue to learn for the safety and success of Chayilei Tzal, for peace in Eretz Yisrael, for Refuah Shleima for all those in need, and of course for the return of the Chatufim. We're also learning today Le'ilu Nishmas Ella Beck, Leia Basaev, Norma Levitt, and also Elias Schiff, Eliyahu ben Yaakov Halevi, that's Joey Schiff's father. All the neshamas we learned for should have an aliyah from our learning. Okay, we pick up the Gemara, as I just said, bottom of Nun Zayin Amud Beis, about a little bit above the Tosos Shomer, 18 lines up at the bottom. And we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said that a Shomer Chinam is Eino Nishba V'chule. The word V'chule is in parentheses because we're really not discussing necessarily the Mishnah beyond that. In any event, the Gemara starts and tells us, how do we know that a Shomer Chinam doesn't have to make a Shvua? Normally a Shomer Chinam does have to make a Shvua. Why in this situation is there no Shvua? So the Tana Rabbanan, because we learned in the following Braisa, which deals with a Shomer Chinam, we have two similar sets of psukim that we went through in Bava Kama. We learned this early in the Masechta as well, that you have the first set of psukim deals with a Shomer Chinam, and the second set of psukim deal with a Shomer Socher, and what the dinim are for the Shomer Chinam versus the Shomer Socher. They both have some parallels between them. So the Gemara starts off by quoting in this Braisa, this pasuk from Mishpatim. The full pasuk is, Ki tein ish areyehu kesef o kelim lishmar v'gunavi beisa ish. Now, we're going to quote parts of it at a time, and we actually have different opinions. The Girsa that we have, the Girsa that Tosus has, and the Girsa that we have on the side in the Masoras HaShas. In any event, let's look at this pasuk now, broken apart. It starts off, Ki tein ish el reyehu. This is talking about Reuven giving to Shimon as a shomer chinam, something to watch for him. And that's a klal. Then it says, Kesef o chelim lishmar. Now, the kesef o chelim, that is the prat. Now, the Girsa that we have says, Vigunav mi beis ish. They leave out the word lishmar. And that's why on the side, it brings down the Girsa that says it really should be over here, lishmar. And that's why the words, Vigunav mi beis ish, are in parentheses. On the other hand, Tosos says that the correct Girsa is actually supposed to be, Vigunav mi beis ish. In either event, this is now a return to another klal, chazar v'klal. So therefore, we have klal u'pratu klal, and as we've mentioned many times, when you have a klal u'pratu klal, that's the Torah's way of telling us that the prat is going to be like a common denominator, and not only is the actual prat included only, but anything that's similar to the prat. Yatadon elokeena prat, the Torah is telling us to include in this prat anything that is similar to the prat. So maha prat, miforush, dovah mitaltel. Number one, this prat is something that's a mitalteli. It's talking about kesef ochelim. It's talking about movable items. And viguf amonim, it's intrinsically worth something. So therefore, this is generalized now to anything that is af kol davar hamitaltel viguf amonim. So the din of Shomer Chinam apply over here with a shvua that he has to say, I wasn't negligent. So that applies to anything that is metalically and anything that is intrinsically money. And therefore, this comes to exclude the four things that we learned in yesterday's Mishnah. Avodim, shtaros, karkos, and hekdeshos in the following way. Yatsu, karkos, karkos is not included here because she ain't a metaltli. Oh, very simple. Yatsu, avodim are also excluded, even though they are technically metaltli, because shehuk shulu karkos, because we had the possibility to nachalt them in yesterday's shiur that we brought down. So therefore, that comes to compare the avodim to karka and not to have them be metaltli. So therefore, not only have we excluded karka, we've excluded avodim, because they're not considered metaltli. Now, yatsu shtaros, because even though they are metaltli, sha'afa pisha metaltlin, nevertheless, ain't gufa mamon. They're not intrinsically worth something other than the paper that they're written on. But the IOU content of it is not something that is a dover itself that is gufo mamon. So therefore, shtaros are excluded. And finally, hekdeshos, how come they're excluded? That because, not because of the klal pratu klal, but because the pasuk tells us, amar kra, Re'ehu, and therefore Re'ehu implies Re'ehu, your friend, however, v'lo shel hektish, but not hektish, which is not considered your friend. So that's how we know that the Shomer Chinam doesn't have to make a shua. Similarly, we then quote the Mishnah, which says, Nosei socher einu mishalim, and then the v'chule again is in parentheses, because we're really only quoting this part of it, we're not really quoting the rest of the Mishnah. So we have the same exact drasha to exclude a Shomer socher from going to have to make a shua in this situation. Now, how do we know that this is true? And that he doesn't have to pay. So critical part for the Mishnah. It says Eino Mishalim, albeit he also doesn't have to make Yeshua. We'll discuss this more in the Gemara. So first of all, we start off and say, how do we know this? Minhani Mili. So again, we quote the similar psukim from Mishpatim that deal with a Shomer Socher. The Tanur Rabbanan, we say in the Braisa, darshining this pasuk, again, we'll say most of the pasuk first. Ki tein isha or yeyu, chamar o shor o seh, v'chol behem o lishmar. So we chop this up into a klalu pratu klal again. So the pasuk starts, again, a pasuk from Mishpatim, dealing with Shomer Socher, ki tein ish el rei ehu. So that's a klal, that's a general thing. If Reuven gives to Shimon as a paid watchman, Shimon is a Shomer Socher, something to watch. And then what is the item, the prat? So chamar o shor o seh, either a donkey, a shor, an ox, or a seh, or a sheep. That's the prat. And again, previously we discussed why it has to mention so many different pratim, both here and by the Shomer Chinam that we just discussed a moment ago. And then it tells us, v'chol dei molishmor, that's chazar v'klal. That's again a generalized statement. So we have, again, klal uprat uklal. So we go by the general rule. You have to don't elokein a prat. And that teaches us to use the prat as the paradigm to generalize. That's the common denominator and anything like it. So what's anything like it? Ma prat meforish dover metalth of gufa mammon. Exactly the same thing that I said by Shomer Chinam. That this brought them over here, the chamor, the shor, and the seh, they're all coming to be metaltali, and they intrinsically are worth something. Dovim metaltel, the gufo mamum. So too, the generalization is that we say anything is av kol dover, hametaltel, the gufo mamum is included. And again, our four things that we've been discussing in our Mishnah are all excluded because Yatsu Karkoko, same exact rush we have by Shomer Chinam. Yatsu Karkoz, Shena Metalton, because that not Metalton. And of course, we compare the Evid to the Karka. So Yatsu Avodim, Shukshul Karkoz. And Yatsu Shtaros, because even though Shavak Bisha Metalton, even though they are a movable object, but ain't Guf and Mamun. They're not intrinsically themselves worth anything other than the paper that they're written on. The $1,000 IOU in that document is not something that is Gufo Mamun. And then that Geishos, again, for a different reason, because the puzzle says Amakra Re'ehu, which means that you have to deal over here and have a Shomer Chinam, Shomer Socher relationships only with Re'ehu, below Shel Hektish. Okay. Now, we once again requote the Mishnah, Shomer Chinam Eino Nishba V'chule. And here, the V'chule is appropriate because we're going to be discussing really the rest of the Mishnah. Now, the Gemara tells us, Ruminu, we have a Mishnah over here in Shkolim. Now, yesterday, we also brought down what we had said was a Brisa in Shkolim, a different one, and I didn't mention, but it says on the side that we should have read it instead of Kiddetanya, we should have read it Kiddetnam, because that really was also a Mishnah from Shkolim. In any event, this Mishnah from Shkolim tells us as follows, Urminu, B'nei Yair, if the people from a city, they don't have the ability to all go up to Yerushalayim to bring their Matzis HaShekel, right? When we have Parsha Shkolim, that's the announcement. Everybody start bringing in their Matzis HaShekel for the next fiscal year. All the Korbanos are bought from Tiklin Chadatim, from the new Shkolim that are brought in. You can't use last year's Shkolim, so the financial year for the Korbanos starts from Nisan 1 and it goes until the last day of the month of Adar of the next year. So the announcement by Parsha Shkolim was, hey, start sending in your Shkolim. Now, everybody didn't walk up to Yerushalayim and go and hand in their Matzis HaShekel. So, let's say the entire city of Haifa would send Shlichim to go and bring their Matzis HaShekel money up to Yerushalayim. So, in this situation, B'nei Yair Sheshalchu Eshik Leim. So, let's say the people of Haifa, they gave to a Shaliach or a bunch of Shlichim, they gave their Matzis HaShekel funds, and the Shluchim go up to Yerushalayim to the Gizbar to the treasury to go and deposit, let's say, Haifa's Matzis HaShekel funds. The Nignivu Osha Avdu. And on the way, however, either they were stolen, the Matzis HaShekel coins were stolen from the Shlichim, or Shavdu, or they lost them. Now, it wasn't through negligence. Now, if they already had done what we call Trumas HaLishka. Now, we have to remind ourselves, all this money was put the fiscal year from Nisan 1 until the last day of Adar, so this was all put into the Lishka, and they would go three times during the year, they would go and take out funds from there to go and purchase the Korbanos. Now, not everybody sent in their funds on time. Some people live far away, and it took them a while for their funds to come. So they would put them into the Lishka, and then they would have a separate Truma, a separate Trumas HaLishka, that they would go and take from there three separate times during the year around the Shlosh Regalim. Now, if the funds were stolen from the Shluchim, let's say from Haifa, the Nigdavu Osha Avdu, after the first Trumas HaLishka was done, so therefore the funds were already taken out from the Lishka on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. And we turn to Nun Ches Amud Aleph. So in that situation, the people from Haifa have already been included in the Truma Salishka, and technically they do not have to go and give another Matzis HaShekel. They are considered having given it because they gave it over to the Shluchim, and once the Truma Salishka was done, so that includes all the people, not only those that had actually given their funds physically into the Lishka itself. So therefore, in this situation, the Mishnah Skolim says that these shlichim have to swear. Nishboyin la gizborin, they're a shomer chinam, and they have to swear that they weren't negligent. And they swear to the gizbor that they weren't negligent. And therefore, the people from Haifa do not have to give a separate additional matzis ha-shekem. But if they hadn't yet done the Truma Salishka, so this was before Nisan 1, they were coming up in the end of Adar, bringing their Matzis HaShekel funds on time from Haifa, and it's stolen or it's lost. So in that situation, they didn't yet do the Truma Salishka, so it isn't considered as if they paid already, and therefore, Nishvayin, these Shomer Chinam Shluchim, have to go and swear, Livnei Ha'ir, now to the people of the city, that they weren't negligent. Uvnei Ha'ir, Shoklin Acherim Tachtem. And this people of Haifa, the people of that city, have to go retake the Matzis HaShekel funds and send them to the Beis HaMikdash again. Now, that's the basic thing. What happens if after they, let's say, swore that the Shluchim swore that they weren't negligent, it was before the Truma Salishka, so the people in Haifa have to go send another Matzis HaShekel. No, they sent their second Matzis HaShekel, but now, subsequently, they find Nimtzu, the first Matzis HaShekel funds were found. Either the robbers gave them back or they found them, wherever it was. And it wasn't again a din of Pshia. So there was a second set of Matzis HaShekel that the people from Haifa sent. Oh, Shechzir Maganavim. The Ganavim, they either found them or the Ganavim returned them. Elu ve'elu shkolim. The first shkolim that they gave are shkolim, and the second shkolim they gave have the status of shkolim, and they can't say, well, we double paid this year, so for next year, we don't have to pay. Ve'en olin lam l'shan abot. It can't be used for next year, because each fiscal year is separate for the korbanos, the korbanos tzibor that have to come from the entire tzibor. Now, that's the Mishnah shkolim. This Mishnah shkolim said either nishbon l'gizborin, or it's a nishbon l'vnei a'ir. So the Mishkan Shkalim certainly says that they have to go make a shvua. Our Mishnah said you don't have to make a shvua. What's going on? So Amish Shmuel says, no problem. This Mishnah Shkalim is not talking about a Shomer Chinam. You know what it's talking about? It's talking about a Shomer Socher. And it's not talking to exempt them from not having to pay for Gneva V'Aveda, which, by the way, they do have to pay for, which the Gemara will ask for in a second. How come you're saying that they don't have to pay? They do have to pay. We'll get to that in a second. But here, the Nishbayim is Nishbayim Litos Chorin. They swear that they didn't do anything wrong, and therefore, they're swearing to get paid. They're a Shomer Socher. So it's saying, listen, you promised us $1,000 to go and bring the Matzis HaShekel funds from Haifa to Yerushalayim. No, we weren't able to do so, but you still owe us $1,000. So therefore, the Nishbayim Litos Chorin has nothing to do with Nishbayim to exempt themselves from having to pay, and therefore, there's no stira between our Mishnah, which says there's no Shvua, and the Mishnah in Shkalim, which says there is a Shvua. They're two totally different things. Our Mishnah says there's no Shvua. They don't have to swear about the Gneva V'Aveda or about the fact that they weren't Poshea. And the Mishnah in Shkalim is just so the Shomer Socher can go collect their fee that they were promised to be paid. Versus, wait a second, if you're telling me the Nishboyan Lito Scharen, so then, Ihachi, why did it say Nishboyan Lagizbarin? Why are they swearing to the Gizbar, to the treasurer? The treasurer is not the one that's paying them. They should have said, Livnei Ha'ir, Mibayle. They should swear to the people who sent them, the citizens of Haifa who sent them with the Matzis HaShekel to say, hey, listen, we want to get paid. V'nishbayim, we weren't negligent, and therefore, Nishbayim, Litos Chorin. So it should have said, not Nishbayim, Ligizbarin. It should have said, Nishbayim, Livnei Ha'ir, Mibayle. So if Shmuel's right, we got a problem. So Rabbi says, no, there's no problem. It means, when we said Nishboyin like Gizbarim, it meant Nishboyin Livnei Ha'ir B'maimad Gizbarim. We make them swear to the people of the city that sent them, so they can go, like Shmuel said, Nishboyin Litos Chorin, but we do it in front of the Gizbar, the Shvua. Why is that? For one of two reasons. Either, Ki Hechi Delo Nachshadinu, so that the Gizbar shouldn't suspect them of cheating. Hey, you guys were supposed to bring the Matzis HaShekel funds from Haifa. Why didn't you guys come and do that? You guys are Ganavim. Oh, so that's why they swear that they weren't Ganavim, and therefore they're swearing to the Bnei Ha'ir to go get their Lito Scharan, but this is to make sure that nobody's Choshesh them for being Ganavim, let's say. V'inami, alternatively, Ki Hechi Delo Likru Lu Poshim. So then the Gizbar shouldn't call them people that are Poshea. Hey, you didn't bring the funds up. Okay, you're swearing to get paid, but that's because you were negligent. And that's why you're swearing. But we think that you're poshim. So therefore, they bedavka swear in front of the gizbar, albeit they're swearing to the people of Haifa, Livnei Ha'ir, but they're doing it in front of the gizbar, so nobody, again, casts aspersions on them and says that they were poshim. Okay, so therefore, we can reconcile this understanding of the Mishnah and Shkolim with our Mishnah, based upon what Shmuel said, that they're nishbayim litos charen, and not to exempt themselves from having to pay. Now the Gemara says, but wait a second, why aren't they obligated to pay? We're dealing here with Eshom Masacha, you're now telling us, and they're chayfa gneva v'yaveda. Eshom Masacha v'gneva v'yaveda chiyuve mechayev. So why don't they have to pay? And even if you say, okay, we had the psukim that we brought down, the klal pratu klal, to tell us that you don't pay when you're dealing with hektish because of hektish specifically was re'ehu, and for the other things it was the klal pratu klal. So at least, v'hochanami, granted that they should normally have to pay, but the pasuk says they don't have to pay. Need the shlume lo mishale. Okay, so we have a pasuk that exempts them from paying. However, agrayu, mia lafsit, at least they shouldn't get paid for doing nothing. They didn't do what they were supposed to do. So we shouldn't at least pay them. So again, Rabba comes in to say, no, Shmuel's reconciliation is still correct, that they do swear v'nishmoy and litos charen, because nignevu, we're dealing here not with something that is in regular gneva. We're dealing over here with onsin, balistim mizuyan, armed robbers came and took this from them. And a shomer socha is not chayev for onsin. And therefore, armed robbers came and they're not held accountable. And likewise, when we said the Avdu, that was talking about Avdu with an onus, Shetavu Svinoso Bayam. They came from Haifa, from the port, and they came to Yafo, and then they traveled from Yafo to Yerushalayim. So therefore, the boat that they were on sank. That's onsin, and therefore, even Eshom Masach is not chayev for Listim Mizuyin or onsin of Svinoso Tova Bayam. And therefore, that's why there is no problem over here, according to Shmuel, that the Nishboim litos harm, because they actually were not liable, and they didn't do anything wrong. So that's teretz number one. That's Shmuel's teretz. Rabbi Yochanan says, Hamani, no. He says, this Mishnah in Shkalim is a Das Yochid, and therefore it doesn't necessarily have a problem with our Mishnah, which is the Das of the Chachamim. So it's a Machlokas, you're right. There's a Machlokas over here between the Mishnah and Shkalim, which is a Das Yochid of Rabbi Shimon, and our Mishnah, which is the Chachamim's opinion. As the Gemara says, Hamani, who's this Mishnah in Shkalim? Rabbi Shimon, he. That is in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. What did he say? The Omar. Kodshim, we had this previously. Kodshim shechayev biachriyuson yesh lemonah. The nishbon alem. That there are different types of kodshim. We said that if it was kodshim where you said, harei olai, I obligate myself to go and bring this carbon. And now, I then designate Bessie to be the carbon. And then something happens to Bessie. So then, I now have to bring another carbon. So let's say Bessie got a mum. So now, if you go and do something to Bessie, you're hurting me now because I'm going to have to go and replace Bessie anyway. So Bessie now is my mamon, and therefore I have a chrayis on it. So this situation, I have to still bring another carbon. So therefore, this is no longer hektish versus somebody else. This is me versus somebody else. And therefore, if I were to go and sell Bessie and undercharge or overcharge, so then the dinim of onah do apply. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Yeshlam onah, dinishmanalev. And therefore, all the normal shvuos apply. Because this is no longer hektish dealing with someone. This is a regular person, a hedjo dealing with someone. And therefore, onah applies and nishboyim aleim applies. So therefore, the Mishnah in Shkalim goes in accord with Rabbi Shimon's opinion. And our Mishnah goes in accord with the Tanakama of Rabbi Shimon, the Chachamim, who argue with Rabbi Shimon, and therefore no problem. That's Rabbi Yochanan's answer. However, the Gemara says that only works partially. Ha nitenach, that works out well. Achelo nitruma truma, that works out if the funds were stolen before the truma salishka was taken. And therefore, the people from Haifa actually owe the money. And therefore, this would be a case where the hedyot, so to say, against the hedyot, the people of Haifa versus the shlichim. So therefore, there's onah, and there would be nishboin aleh. Fine, ha teinach achelo nitruma truma. That's before the truma salishka was done. However, misha nitruma truma. Once the truma salishka was done, we said the people of Haifa are potter. Anybody that sent them, once the truma salishka is done, they're potter, and therefore it's now not kachim shechayev biachriyusan, but they don't have to pay the matzta shekel. So this is kachim she'eno chayav biachriyuson ninu. So these matzta shekel funds, there is no responsibility anymore for the people of Haifa. So it's as if it's hektish funds. And therefore, we learned in the Braisa, the Tanya, tarmim ala avud v'ala gavui v'ala os ligavos. When they take the Trumas Alishka in the Beis Hamikdash, they're taking it not only on behalf of the people who already gave, but they're also taking it on behalf of the people that had lost their funds, that had sent it with shluchim, and that the funds that will be in the future collected. So therefore, this Trumas Alishka is on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. So therefore, the people in Haifa in this situation have no responsibility to go send new shkolim. And therefore, this is not a case, like Rav Yochanan wanted to suggest, of the Mishnah and Shkolim being Rabbi Shimon's opinion, because it can't be Rabbi Shimon's opinion, because he only says that for Chayiv B'Yachriyus, and if they had to go and pay the Matzah to Shekel, then you're right, it would be Nishboim Alem. But in the case where they don't have to be repeating giving the Matzah to Shekel, because it was after the Trumas Alishka was taken, so then, what are you saying in that situation? Even Rabbi Shimon would say that there's no Shvuah, so how can you say that the Mishnah and Shkolim is talking about a Shvuah for the scenario of Kachim Shechayiv B'Yachriyus? So Yochanan is wrong. So Elo Omer Rabbi Elazar, the Talmud of Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar says, Shvua zu takonas chachami. You're right. The Shvua is not a Shvua d'oraisa. And in fact, mid'oraisa, the Mishnah and Shkolim and our Mishnah say, based upon the Pasuk Re'eyu, that there is no Shvua mid'oraisa in this situation. Aye, the Mishnah and Shkolim is telling us, however, that the rabbis added a Shvua midrabanon. Shvua zu takonas chachamim hi. Why? Shlo yu b'nei adam mizalzlim hekdeshos. Because you know what? People can say, hey, I'm not responsible. The Trumas Alishka was taken off over here, so therefore everybody's really potter, so I don't have to be so careful. And therefore, this Shomer Chinam that came up from Haifa maybe isn't going to be so careful. So if he doesn't have to make a Shvua, he's even going to be less careful. And therefore, we make him make a shvua that he wasn't careless. They make him make a shvua that he wasn't posheya. Oh, midaraisa, he doesn't have to do this. But the rabbi said, we want you to go to do this to therefore impress upon yourself and to make sure that you carry out your duties dutifully and not do it, rachmon l'islan, with pshia. Okay. Now we quote the next part of the Mishnah. Again, we're repeating this. We had quoted it before. No sechar eino mishalim. We said the shomer sechar doesn't have to go and pay. Now, the Gemara is going to ask the following shaila now. Rami le Rav Yosef bar Chama le Rabba. Rav Yosef bar Chama asks Rabba the following question. It says, tonight we learned in our Mishnah, no se socher eino mishalim. However, we learned in the following brayso mini has socher es apol. If the gizbar, this is talking about the Beit HaMikdash, is going to hire poalim. As Rashi says, this is three lines into the wide lines, widest lines in the Rashi's. Has socher es apohalim, gizbar shel hektish, the treasurer of the hektish, goes and hires workers, shesochar polim mishel hektish, and he's paying them from hektish funds. To do what? One of three things. Either lishmor es hapara, to go and watch the parah aduma, to make sure that nobody puts an ol on it, that nobody does work with it, and that it doesn't become possible. Parah adumas are very rare things, and therefore, once they found and identified one, they want to make 100% sure that it doesn't get disqualified, it doesn't become possible because work was done with it. So therefore, they hire workers from the gizbor funds, from the treasury funds, Lishmor Sapara or Lishmor Satino. The Mishnais in Parah tell us fascinating stories how, since we are makel on one din of the Parah, in that we are Metame Bisharetz, the Kohen who's doing the work on the Parah Duma, often the Kohen Gadol, and we're Metame him because the din is that if he's a Tful Yom, he's still allowed to do the Avoda. But the Tzdukim said, no, we can't do the Avoda. So therefore, we go and actively metame the Kohen Gadol, who's doing the Parah Aduma work. Then he goes to the Mikvah, he's a Tful Yom, and he's allowed to do the Avoda. So in order to show us this, we actually did something that was a very, very lenient thing, in that we were metame him to show this din of Tful Yom. Since we were lenient in this one way, so we bend over backwards in every other way to make many, many chumras involved in the Parah Aduma. So one of the chumras that they did involved in the Parah Aduma was that they would go and have children that would be born in an area, the mothers would give birth in an area which was rocky, and therefore there was a guarantee that there were no babies that were born that would become tame with Tumas HaTahom, with a unknown cavern that was buried deep in the ground, because they were born in a rocky area. And they kept them in this rocky area so they could never become tame with Tumas HaTahom, an unknown deep grave, which was a huge, huge chumrah because we aren't concerned about that normally. So here they went out of their way to be machmir in regards to the children to make sure that when they got the water to sprinkle with the ashes of the parah aduma, so there would be absolutely no concern. There are many other things the Mishnah listed that they went to machmir to make sure that there was no even potential for tumah. So they would hire workers to go lishmor satino to take care of those children. And then the third possibility why they would hire the workers was Lishmar es Hazroim, right? We're coming up on Pesach, and on the first day of Cholam Pesach, in Yitzhak Hashem, this year in Eretz Yisrael, with the rebuilt Beis HaMikdash, v'mehir v'yameinu, so we're going to have to bring the Korban Omer. And this Korban Omer, they had to have come from grains, barley, that was right near Yerushalayim. So they would go and make sure that nobody harvested those grains, so therefore they would send out Shomrim, they would hire Shomrim to go and watch those grains. So in all of these situations, the Gizmer would hire these people. So it says in the Braisa, Ein nos lo schar Shabbos. If this person is only hired to work one day on Shabbos to do any of these things, so that you're not allowed to pay for work on Shabbos. Oh, so even during the rest of the week, the people might be a Shomer Socher. On Shabbos, they have the status of being a Shomer Chinam because Ein nos lo schar Shabbos. So therefore, on Shabbos, there is Shomer Chinam. Lefikach Ein achrayi Shabbos alav. Therefore, for things that a Shomer Socher would normally be chayav for, so they're not going to be chayav for unless they were Pasheya. Now, that's if they were only a day worker and just being paid for Shabbos. But we have the concept of Havlah, that you're allowed to get paid for something if it includes work on a weekday. That's how the shul can hire a Baal Koreh and pay them for laning on Shabbos. He's laning on Shabbos? No, you're paying him for all the time that he prepared during the week. So therefore, the work on Shabbos is what's called swallowed up. It's Schar Havlah, and therefore you can pay him because he's also working during the week, and you're basically giving him a wage for the job, and that includes working on the week. So therefore, same thing over here with the Shomer. If we paid this person to either watch the Paraduma, watch the children, watch the Zroim for the Korban Omer, so then, if you're paying him Hayo Schir Shabbos, you're paying him by the week, or Schir Chodesh, or you're paying him by the month, or Schir Shana, or you're paying him by the year, or Schir Shavua, or you're paying him by the Shemitah cycle. Shavua here means the Shemitah cycle, not a week. That was Schir Shabbos. So then, in all of these situations, you have Havlah, so then the person is considered a Shomer Socher, even on Shabbos. So therefore, no Solo Schar Shabbos, he's actually getting paid to work on Shabbos in a permissible way, and therefore, Lefikach Achrayis Shabbos Olav. Therefore, he would be Chayiv as a Shomer Socher if anything happened on Shabbos. Now, what does it mean that he's Chayiv in all of these situations? My Lav L'Shalev. Aren't we talking about that he has to pay? Now, therefore, this Braisa goes against our Mishnah, which says that he doesn't have to go and pay if he's a Shomer Socher. So Gemara says, no, Lahavsid Scharo. So this Mishnah is telling us that we don't pay him his schar, we don't pay him his wages in this situation, but you're right, our Mishnah is correct in that he's not obligated to pay for the item that is lost. So therefore, again, there's no steerer between this Braisa and our Mishnah. Gemara questions this. Rav Yosef Bar Chama asks further to Rabbah, and he says, wait a second, if this is the case, so then Reisha, the Ktani, Ein Achrayis Shabbos Lov, so then in the Reisha, where you're saying that he's a Shomer Chinam, because he's only working on Shabbos, there's no Schar Havlah, so therefore he's a Shomer Chinam, and therefore he's not going to be Chayev, so what is he not Chayev for? He's not getting a salary. Hachanami, the Lahas is Charo, you're telling me that, okay, when something happens, so you're not going to pay him. He's a Shomer Chinam. Umi is Slay Schar Shabbos. He doesn't have any Schar Shabbos. He's a Shomer Chinam. And yet you're writing, and you're saying, V'hoktani, Ein Nosdin Lo Schar Shabbos, that we're not going to pay the guy Schar Shabbos, but he's a Shomer Chinam. There is no Schar Shabbos. So obviously it doesn't mean his wages. It must mean that he doesn't have to pay. And therefore, that implies that otherwise he does have to pay if he's a Shomer Socher, and it's not for his Schar, as Rabbah tried to answer to Rav Yosef Bar Chama. And in fact, Rav Yosef Bar Chama has a good kasha. The Braisa is going against our Mishnah. So, no, Rabbi, what are you going to say? So Rabbi said nothing. Ishtik. Rabbi didn't know the answer. It was a good kasha, taka, from Rav Yosef Bar Chama. So, Amalei. So Rabbi said to Rav Yosef Bar Chama, you asked a very good question. No, maybe midi shmir loch b'ha. Maybe you heard a good answer for this as well. So Amalei, so Yosef Bar Chama said to Rabbi, I did. Hachi Amar Rav Sheshes. I heard this. I was asking you to see what you say. But now that you don't know an answer, so I'll tell you what I heard from Rav Sheshes. Hachi Amar Rav Sheshes, Bishekanu Miyado. We're dealing here that it's not the normal circumstances. These workers wanted to demonstrate how good and honest they were. So they said, even though we're not obligated to go and pay, we agree that we will pay if something happens. And they made a kinyan on this. Bishikanu miyado. They said this in front of witnesses, and they said, even though we don't have to pay, we are willing to take this job with the understanding that if something does happen, we will pay for it. Bishikanu miyado. So they made a kinyan over here that these workers, while the Torah says they don't have to pay, they're saying we will work and pay if something happens. And in fact, not only Rosh Hashanah said this, v'chein Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan said the same thing. Bishikanu miyado. We're dealing here where a kinyan was made that these workers said in front of witnesses, we obligate ourselves to pay. So you're right. There is no stira here because under normal circumstances, they don't have to pay. Our Mishnah is correct. And the Braisa, it's not a stira to our Mishnah. The Braisa is talking about Bishikanu miyado. Okay. Then we quote the next part of our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kachim Shchaya B'Yachuyusun, Yeshlan Ona, V'Sheinu Chaya B'Yachuyusun, Ein Lan Ona. As we just said a moment ago, and we learned this in the Shir when we learned the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon's opinion is different than the Tanakhama. Rabbi Shimon says, if there is Achrayis, so then it's no longer Hektish versus the person, it's now me versus the person. It's a head yot versus a head yot. And therefore Re'eyu applies, and there is the Dinim of Ona, and there would be a Shvua, according to Rabbi Shimon. But if there is no achrayis, so then, you're right, then the basic din of the Mishnah still applies, even according to Rabbi Shimon, ein lehem onah, there is no onah, and ein mishalim. Fine. Now, the Gemara says, Tani Tana Kameh Rav Yitzchak Bar Abba. Again, we mentioned many, many times when we have the word Tani Tana or some similar lashon to that in front of an Amora. So we're basically not dealing with a Tana, we're dealing with an Amora who's saying over a Braisa in front of the Amora. So here we have an Amora saying over the following Braisa in front of Rav Yitzchak Bar Abba. It's not a Tana, it's an Amora. In any event, he stated the following Braisa. Kachim Shechayev B'Yachuyusen Chayev. If it's Kachim that Yechayev in that Kachim, if something happens to it, so then you have achrayis still to bring it, so then shechayiv b'achriyusun, then you are chayiv if there is a gneva in this situation, because the regular rules apply. This isn't stealing from Kachim, this is now stealing from this person. And therefore, a person who did this and then swore falsely and then has hirurim of tshuva, and he says, I swore falsely, so then he'll have to pay back the Karen, he'll have to err on a chomish, and he'll have to bring an asham me'ila. He'll have to bring a Asham Gizela. Okay, now, because in this situation, we do have Shani Koreben, because we do have over here Bahashem V'kichesh, because in this situation, he's going against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he swore falsely. And here he has to pay, like Rabbi Shimon said. V'sheinu chayev b'yachriyusun pater. But if you're not chayev in the achrayis for this item, so then pater, then there is no obligation, because in this situation, shani korban ba miso v'kichesh, because here you're going against, not hektish, you're going against another person, and therefore v'kichesh, and you're swearing falsely, and therefore you would, in this situation, not have to go and pay. So this Amora said this over in front of Rav Yitzchak Bar Abba, and it makes no sense whatsoever. It's pumfakert. So Amalei, Rav Yitzchak Bar Abba says to this Amora, Klapilaya, what are you talking about? It doesn't make any sense what you just said. Klapilaya is an expression, as Rashi points out, Klape hechan adover nota. Your logic is illogical over here. It should be pumfakert, the opposite. You're saying that because it belongs to Hektish, so that's why he has to bring an Asham Gezela. And if it belongs to a regular person, then he doesn't have to bring an Asham Gezela. Pumfakert. And we turn to Nun Ches Omud Beis. If Chubistavra, the exact opposite. As Rashi points out in the top Rashi, Kol Advarim Nir Hefech. It's the exact opposite. When you have Achrayis, so then it's you against the head yot. When you don't have a chrayis, it's you against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So it's the exact opposite of what you said in terms of the Shvuah. So Amalei, so this Amora, who's saying this in front of Rav Yitzchak Abba, he says, Nu Ismaye, should I delete this? Rashi says, Asir Mishnah Zu Migir Sasi, should I remove this Braisa from my collection of Braisas? It's obviously incorrect the way I said it. So Amalei, Rav Yitzchak Abba tells him, no, because there is a way to read this. Hachi Kavar, this is the way you have to learn that Braisa in the following way. If you're chayev in achrayis on this, so then you are chayev because the israbu mi b'hashem v'kichesh, because this is included in the din, not only by a regular person, but also in regards to hektish, because it no longer is hektish, it's yours. However, v'she'enu chayev b'yachriyusun potter, when you don't have achrayis, you're potter, not because it's dealing with you and another person, because it's dealing with you and hektish, and therefore, the words, the imit mi ba'amiso v'kichesh, because here you don't have with your friend. So, therefore, you're not chayiv. So, what the Braisa should be have understood is in the following way, which makes perfectly good sense. When you're dealing with Achrayis, so then it's no longer Hektish, it's now as if it was a friend, and therefore you're Chayiv. But when you're dealing with pure Hektish, you don't have Achrayis on it, so then this din of Amiso excludes it from you having to be making a Shua. Okay. Then we quote the Mishnah. We had the final part of the Mishnah. It said, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. What was Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he added, in addition to the four categories that the Tanakhama had, of Havadim, Hekdeshos, Karkos, and Shtaros. So he had as well, he added on, also, that the Dinim of Ono don't apply, Af HaMocher, Sefer Torah, if you sell a Sefer Torah, or a Margolius, or a precious diamond, or Behema. In our Mishnah, we actually had it switched around. We had Sefer Torah, Behema, and then Margolius. I don't know why nobody mentions this, but in any event, that was the gear submission. No real change in the practical outcome. But in any event, that was Rabbi Yehuda's opinion of the Mishnah. Now, he said there's no onah for these additional three things. Our Mishnah, however, did not give a reason for it, and the Braisa will now explain what Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was. Tanya, we learned the Braisa, an expansion of what Rabbi Yehuda said. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afamoka Sefer Torah ain't lo onah. Sefer Torah doesn't have onah. Why is that? Because there's no value. Sefer Torah is a priceless. How can you say overpaid for a Sefer Torah? Levisha ain't kates l'damea. Sefer Torah is priceless. So, okay, I paid $1 million for the Sefer Torah. Well, normal Sefer Torah is $100,000. Well, it's not an overcharge. It's worth $1 million. You paid $5 million for it, it's worth $5 million. So therefore, Lefish ain't kates of the mount. You can't evaluate a Sefer Torah in the normal way we evaluate something because it's priceless. Okay, Behema or Margolius, the next two items, the Behema and the Margolius, how come they don't have Onor? Ain't Lehem Onor? Wanted review to say that because Isha other Mosa is Savgun, because you work them in pairs. So, for example, a behema, if you have two animals plowing, you normally have two animals, not one. So, therefore, you want them to be roughly of equal power. Because if you have, let's say, the right-sided one stronger than the left-sided one, the plow is going to constantly veer off in that direction. It's going to tire out the other animal. It's not going to be a good match. So you want them to be roughly equally matched, and therefore you're going to pay a premium for that. Likewise, you have a diamonds on a ring, and you have two diamonds on the ring. So you want them to be equal. So you're willing to pay more for the same exact value because you need that one, Lizavgun, to make it into a pair. And therefore, that's why Rav Yehuda says there is no onor when it comes to these things, a behema or a margolis, because you're willing to pay a premium and you can't say you were overcharged because you needed an exact match. So the Gemara says, wait a second, Amalot, the Chacham said back to Rav Yehuda in this Braisa, wait a second, follow our call. Adam wrote to Lizavgun. Well, this wouldn't only apply then to a behemoth Margolius. This would apply in anything that you have a pair of. So the second one, you want to be like the first one. So why did you only limit it to behemoth Margolius? So Rabbi Yehuda, he would answer as follows. Rabbi Yehuda, hani chashivilei, v'hani lo chashivilei. Here, with the behemoth, you specifically, that's very chashiv to you to have an equal behemoth because of the reasons that I mentioned. And with the diamonds in the insetting of the ring, so it's important that they both be the same. But other things, it's not so important, Lizavgun, and therefore only by these, the Behemoth and the Margolius, did Rav Yehuda feel that it was essential. No, does Rav Yehuda say that there is no Onor at all? So in my example that I gave you a moment ago, when you're paying $5 million for the Sefer Torah, that normally would be $100,000, is that really true? Yad Kama, did he really say that much? So no, he didn't say that much. Omer HaMeimar, Ad Kedei Demeim. If you pay double, up to double, there is no Onor. So in my example, the Sefer Torah is worth $100,000, and then you pay $200,000, so then, up to that, it's not considered Onor. But you paid $1 million, you paid $5 million, then even Rabbi Yehuda would say, that is considered Onor. It's only Ad Kedei Demeim, like a Meimer explained, that we don't have this din of Onor, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Finally, we bring a Braisa that brings an additional Shita, not mentioned in our Mishnah. Tanya, we have in the Braisa a different Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. He said, Omer, that's not the Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah. That's Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi. Here we have Rabbi Yehuda Maseira. Rabbi Yehuda Maseira, Omer, af hamocher sus. He says, if a person sells a sus, there's no one awe. A saif, a sword, there's no one awe. V'chatitom. Rashi says that's a morgain. And if you sell these items, a horse, a sword, or a morgain, a shield, b'muhama, in times of war, so then ein lehem onah. And Nebuch, we just saw this ourselves when people are spending so much money to buy vests for the chayalim, to buy helmets for the chayalim. So, whatever you could get them for, you'd get them for. You didn't say, oh, no, that's too much. I'm not going to buy it. You got them. The Chayalim need them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should keep them safe. So therefore, you pay whatever it is. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda Mizeh says that during a time of war, these essential items of war, you can't say, well, I overpay for them. You need them. This is what you could buy them for. So there's no overcharge. Again, mipnei sheish b'em chayi nefesh, because this is life-saving equipment. So therefore, the chayal is not going to be able to claim that he was overcharged, because the argument is you would have paid anything for this because it's life-saving. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be shomer all of our chayalim, that this should be successful to protect them from any harm. Okay, now go to the next Mishnah. Now, this Mishnah introduces us to a very, very, very important subject, onoas devarim. Until now, we've been talking about financial onoa, financial cheating. And now we're going to talk about onoa, when you go and hurt somebody, when you cheat somebody with words. Kishem sh'onoa, the Mishnah says, b'mekach u'memkar. Just like until now, we've been talking about financial onoa, so too, there is also a din, kach onoa b'dvarim. There is onoas devarim. What is that? For example, lo yomer lo b'chama chayvetzeh. A person shouldn't go up to a storekeeper and say, oh, how much does this cost? How much does this cost? When he has no intention of buying it. He's window shopping. So it's okay to tell the storekeeper, listen, I'm just window shopping. But the storekeeper is excited. He sees a customer coming in and he asks, well, how much is this? How much is that? And you have no intention of buying it. So you're raising his hopes and you're possibly hurting him because other people see that you hear the price and then you walk out and you don't buy it. So they're going to think that he's overcharging. So therefore, you're not allowed to do this. You can't go and window shop unless you tell the owner, I'm going to window shop. I have no intention of buying anything. And then you shouldn't be asking him, how much does this cost? How much does this cost? How much does this cost? Because you're just wasting his time and you're potentially actually hurting him. Similarly, another type of onoas dvarim, imhoyo bal tshuva. Let's say Reuven is a bal tshuva. He grew up in a non-frum environment, a non-frum home, Baruch Hashem. He now is a frum person. So, imhoyo bal tshuva, this person, Reuven, we should all be bal tshuvas. Let's specifically talk about a person that grew up in a, let's say, non-frum environment, now he's a bal tshuva. So don't go and tell him all the time. Lo yomar lo, don't go and tell him. Zuchar ma'aseh harishon. Ah, you remember when you were bum? Remember when you used to eat lobster? Remember when you used to go and carouse and you did all sorts of isurim? You're not supposed to say that to him. It's going to make him feel bad. Why say it to him? Likewise, in whom ben gerim, if a person is from gerim, he's a convert from a family of converts. Lo yomar lo, don't say to him, zuchar ma'aseh avosecha. Hey, you're a German. Remember what your grandparents did? You're a person who has a horrible past. So don't say that to him. He's now a good person. So don't remind him about his past, whether he's a bal tshuva or whether he's a ger. Because the pasuk tells us, shenema, v'ger lo sone v'lo silchatzenu. Because you specifically shouldn't do this to a ger, you shouldn't do this to a bal tshuva, shouldn't do it to anybody, onoas dvarim. Okay, Gemara starts off now a fascinating discussion about onoas dvarim. Tana Rabbanu, we learned in the pasuk, lo sonu ishes amiso. It tells us that you're not allowed to go and do onoa to your friend. And this is talking about onoas dvarim akasav davar. This is the source. It says, do not do onoa to another person, onoas dvarim. Adi Mor says, how do you know it's onoas dvarim? Atomer be'onoas dvarim. You're telling me this is talking about words? No, maybe it's talking about finances. Oh, ain't no ela be'onoas mamon. So the Gemara says, it's not talking about onoas mamon because they have a different pasuk for onoas mamon. The pasuk that we've been discussing in the Gemara in the last couple of shiurim. Kishu omer, the pasuk says, v'chi simkru memkar la'misecha o kono miyad amisecha hari onoas mamon omer. That's talking about financial onoa. So our pasuk here, ha'mani mekayim lo sonu ishes amiso. Why would it repeat it if it's all about finances? So therefore, onoas dvarim. It's talking about onoas dvarim. Now, haketzad. Again, the Braisa tells us what are examples of onoas dvarim, similar to what our Mishnah said. Imay about tshuva, ayoma lo zichor ma'asecha harishon. The guy's about tshuva, so don't remind him what he did when he wasn't yet a chose b'tshuva. Imay ben gerim, if he's coming from a lineage of gerim, so don't remind him. Ayoma lo zichor ma'asecha. Oh, remember what your parents, the goyim, did. And likewise, if he's a ger and now he's coming to learn Torah, al yomelo, don't tell him, listen, how do you expect to learn Torah? Pesh, ochal, nevelos, treifel, shkotzim, ramosim. Ah, a mouth that ate all sorts of non-kosher things. You ate over here nevelos, which are kosher animals that died without shchita. Treifels, they had shchita, but they were found not to be kosher, and you ate them anyway. All these creepy, crawly creatures, shkotzim, ramosim, you had lobster, you had all sorts of things. So, bal lilmo Torah, shedemba mi piagura, and now you're coming to learn Torah that was said from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth? So, pasnish. Likewise, if a person, Rachman Lutzlan, is suffering from various afflictions, or where he has various illnesses, Rachman Lutzlan, guy has cancer, somebody has to go and bury their children. The children should die after the parents, not before the parents, Rachman Lutzlan. Ayomelo, don't say to this person, Kedero Sha'amrulo Chareru Liro, don't say like Eliphaz and the other friends of Eo said to Eo, hey, it's your fault that all this happened. You weren't obviously a great person. Halo Yiroscha, Kisla Secha, Tikvasicha, Visalm Durachecha, Zuchar Na Mihu Naki Avat. As Tosus basically explains this passage, Tosus says that, what are you over here? Are you a bad person, Eo? You're arguing against Hashem. It must be that you're not worthwhile, that you apparently aren't at tzaddik. And that's why you had all these troubles. Rachman al-Hassan, don't ever tell that to somebody who's undergoing hard, difficult things in his life, whether it's illness or afflictions, or Rachman al-Hassan, lo aleinu, person has to bury a child. So don't say these things like Eliphaz and his other friends of Eov said to him. Likewise, if people, the truck drivers of those days, the donkey drivers, came to you and said they're looking for work to do, does anybody need to start to schlep stuff? So does anybody have tool that they need to schlep from their fields to the market? So don't tell them, lo yomar lohem, luchuetzo ploni, shumoche tvua, when you've owned very well, v'yodea bo shalom acham yolem. Don't say, hey, yeah, have a good time at him, laugh at him, and say, yo, yeah, why don't you go to Yanko? Yanko has lots of grain. Yanko's not a farmer. So don't tell him things like that. And view the ads, view the Omer, Aflo Yisla Einav El Alamekach Bishosh En Lo Domim. And likewise, don't go into a store when you don't have money to buy it and make it look like you're buying it. Similar to what we said before in our Mishnah. The Bratz continues and says, Shari had Dovor Masul Lalev. All of these ideas that we just expressed with Onoaz Devarim are all internal. There's no obvious way to understand or know what the person's thinking. Let's say he tells the truck driver, he tells the Chamorim, listen, so-and-so has grain. He may really think the person has grain, or he may be joking and just poking fun at him and having a good time at his expense. Nobody knows that except that person. Hadavar Masul Lalev, and the whole Davar Masul Lalev, and anything that's handed over, so to say, to your own internal thoughts. Ne'emar Bo, it says about such a thing, V'yareisim Elokecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's inside your heart. Yodea Kloyos V'lev. God knows whether you were just having a good time at that guy's expense or you really thought that the other person might have had grain. He said, I don't know, but why don't you go to so-and-so? So therefore, V'yareisim Elokecha. When it comes to Onoaz Dvarim, it specifically says, V'yareisim Elokecha. As opposed to financial things, it doesn't have to say that because everybody's going to know that you overcharged him or undercharged him. Amar V'yochel, Mishum, Mishum, Yochai. V'yochel said the name, Mishum, Yochai. Gadol Onaz Dvarim, Me'onaz Mamam. Therefore, based upon what we just said, the tricking of somebody with words is far worse than tricking somebody with money. Because, again, the pasuk says, Shezeh ne'emar bo v'yareisim Elokecha, v'zeh lo ne'emar bo v'yareisim Elokecha. Because in regards to Onaz Dvarim, it says you have to be fear of God. You have to have an understanding that God knows what you're doing. Whereas by the Mammon, everybody's going to know what you're doing, so this guy's known to be an overcharger. He's a cheat. So everybody's going to know that. And you don't need, quote, the fear of God, because you have fear of other people as well. Velazar is, Velazar Omer, Zeb Begufa Zeb Mamona. He says that when you hurt somebody with words, that's hurting their body, as opposed to if you're only hurting them with money, that's hurting their money. It's not as bad. Right? In English, we say sticks and stones may break your bones, but names will never hurt you. That's pumfaket of what Chazal tell us. Yeah, there's financial damages. You break somebody's window, you have to pay for it. Okay, that's not such a terrible thing. And you pay for it, and that's the end of the discussion. But if you hurt them, you never can get that back. And that's where Shmuel ben Nachmani adds further. Shmuel ben Nachmani Amar, Zenitan lehishavon, Vizelonitan lehishavon. You hurt somebody financially, okay, I hurt you $100, here's $100 back, and I'm very sorry. And everything is reconciled to a certain extent. However, if you call somebody a name, you hurt somebody, there's no way to get that back. Even if you apologize, that hurt remains. It's very difficult to remove that. Where continues says, Tani Tana, Kameder Rav Nachman Yitzchak. One of the Amoraim taught over the following brice in front of Rav Nachman Yitzchak. And he says, Kol Ma'al B'Pnei Chaver B'Rabim, if you go and embarrass somebody in public, Ki Ilu Shofech Domim, that is like killing a person. And we said many times, Tosus alludes to it over here, that you drain the blood from their face. They first get red, all the blood goes up to their face because they're embarrassed, and then their face turns white. So it's as if you're killing them. And we'll see in our Gemara, in the Gemara in Sota, that basically almost includes this in the Yehari Vayavar we'll see at the end of today's share with the story of Tamar. In any event, Kilu Shofichtam, it's like you're killing the person. Amalei, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said to this Amor, who said over this Breiser, Shaper Karmas, Taki, 100% right. The Chazina lay the Ozu Sumka V'Osi Chivra. As I just pointed out, the blood rushes up to the person's face, and then it leaves the face, and the person gets embarrassed, and he turns white. Amalei Abayla Rav Dimi, Abayla said to Rav Dimi, in Eretz Yisrael, B'ma Rava, B'ma Ziri. What are they careful about in Eretz Yisrael? Then Yoda has a very interesting distinction. He says, why would Abai want to know what they do in Eretz Yisrael? Specifically, he lived in Babel. So he says that there are different types of Malach HaMavis. There's a Malach HaMavis that's in charge of Chutz Laaretz, and a Malach HaMavis in charge of Eretz Yisrael. And because of various things, there's differences. And therefore, we want to know, what do you do in Eretz Yisrael? In any event, B'ma'arov B'ma'izir, what are you very careful about in Eretz Yisrael? So Amalei, so Rav Dimi told Abai, Rav Dimi would go back and forth from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, say over the Torah from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, and then from Babel back to Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Dimi said, Bachvuri Apei, they're very, very careful about not whitening somebody's face, about not going and embarrassing people. Why? Because Damar Rechanina said, Hakol Yoredim LeGehenim Chutz Mishlosha. Everybody goes to Gehenim except for three people. For questions, it says, really? Hakol? So Kedaitach. Every single person going to Gehenim? That can't be it. You're right. So that was incorrect. So he said, Ela Ema, this is what was actually said. Kol Yoredim LeGehenim Olim. Everybody who goes down to Gehenim will be Ola. Tosus adds, they'll be Ola. They're not going to be in Gehenim forever. And Tosos, in Dibra Mal Chutz Begimel, goes through a whole list of ideas as to who stays in Gehenim, who doesn't stay in Gehenim, for how long. But everybody who does go to Gehenim comes right back up. They're going to come up eventually or right away. Kol Yoredim Gehenim Olim, with the exception Chutz Mishlosha, with these three people, She Yoredim Ein Olim. These three sins, they're so terrible, they're going to leave a person in Gehenim. What are these three sins? Ve'elohein, haba alei shesish, rechmon lusan, somebody who commits adultery, he has relations with somebody else's wife, anei shesish. And number two, v'amal b'mpenei chavir b'rav, if you publicly embarrass somebody, so that's a terrible avla. V'mechane shem ra l'chaveiro. If somebody has a nickname and he calls his friend an embarrassing nickname in public. Now, I should point out that Tosus also says that these people, when it says yardim ein olim, it doesn't mean that they'll never be ola, they will be ola, but it will take a little bit of time. They'll be coming up, but not right away like some of the others. Okay, now the Gemara questions and says, isn't HaMechana Shem Ra L'Chaveru embarrassing him? How is that any different than HaMal B'Pei Chaveru B'Rabim? Mechana, Hainu Malbim, aren't they the same thing? So the Gemara says, no. No, somebody has a nickname, it's an embarrassing nickname, but somebody then gets used to it. Okay, everybody calls him Fats, right? Everybody says, that guy is known as Fats. So, okay, originally he was upset about it, but now he got used to it. So even then, in that situation, if you call somebody by a bad name, so then even if they don't seem to be so upset about it anymore, they're not so embarrassed by it, everybody calls them that already, they've unfortunately accepted it. So then, in that situation, you're still going to be of those people that are Yordlim and Gehenim, but aren't going to be coming up so fast. Mark continues, says, Amar Rabba Bar Barchan, Amar Yochanan. Rabba Bar Barchan says, Name of Yochanan, return to Nun Tesam and Olive. Noach Loli Yodam, Shevol Sofikashish. It's better for a person to actually have relations with a woman who might be an Ashishish rather than the Al Yab Pei Chavir Rabba. We're not suggesting that you have relations with the Sofikashish, but it's even worse to go and embarrass somebody in public than to chas v'shalom possibly commit adultery. Now, how do we know this from? So we have several drashas. So the first one is midarash rabba, rabba darshan. The darash rabba said, "Ma'idus." What does the pasuk mean when it tells us? This is a pasuk from Tehillim where it tells us ubitzali samchu v'nesafu. Then later in the pasuk says karu v'lo damu. So this is David HaMelech saying that everybody was always happy to make fun of David HaMelech. David HaMelech had a very difficult life. They frequently made fun of David HaMelech. And David HaMelech finally called out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Omar David HaKadosh Baruch Hu, David said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Galui v'yadu lefanecha, Shem hayu mikorim bisari lohya dami shosis laretz. They have dried up all my blood. They made so much fun of me that I have no more blood anymore, so to say. I've drained all my blood, accepting all of the horrible comments that they made about me. And furthermore, v'lo od, El afilu bishar sha'oskim b'nigayim v'alos. Even when we're learning all about nigayim and alos, which is dealing with tzoras, for example, in the garden, which is motzi shemra, and they're saying all these terrible things, which they should get tzoras. So even when we're learning about tzoras, omri, they still say to me, oh, David, what's the halacha? Baal eish ish, misaso b'meh. Oh, if a person goes and commits adultery, what's his misa? In other words, they were alluding to the famous misa with David and Bathsheba, and the idea that she wasn't really an eish ish, because they had given a get else tonight, that if they didn't return from the battle, then in fact she was Niskarsha from that point in time. So her husband really wasn't married to her at the time that David had relations with her, so he really wasn't having relations with Nashish Ish. And the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and other places discusses this in great detail, and in fact David didn't sin in the way that they thought that he did. And therefore, they would make fun of David. And when they were even studying Dinim of, you shouldn't be making fun of other people in the Goyim and Arlos, for example, that you get negat saras when you are motzi shame on somebody. Nevertheless, they would come up to David and say, hey, what's the halach if you have relations with a married woman? So he answered them very smartly. And he said, Vani Omer Lem. David responded to him and he said, Misa so b'chenek. Yes, you get chenek. That is Misa's basin of chenek. You get strangled. However, that person, v'yesh lo chelek olam haba, as we pointed out, He may not come up right away, but he will have a chelik in Olam Haba. He'll go down to Gehenim. He'll take a while maybe to come up, but he will have Olam Haba. However, but somebody who embarrasses somebody else is not going to have a chelik in Olam Haba, as the Gemara tells us in other places. And we see this, how important it is not to embarrass somebody. Now, we have the Girsa the Omar, and the slide is just to say, should just say Omar, Mar Zutra, Bartuvia Omarav. This is a separate statement, although it's related. Others say, Amri lo Omarav Chana bar Bizna Omar Rishon Chasida, it was said with that name. Others say, Amri lo, it was Omar Yochanan Mishon Rishon Yochai who said it. In any event, they all said the following statement, Noach lo liodim shiapil asal chivishan eish. It is preferable for a person to actually kill himself, to throw himself into a fire, into a kivishan eish, into a furnace, but al yab ben pnei chavir v'ram, and not have somebody else be embarrassed because of him. And where do we see this from? From the main spice with Tamar and Yehuda. Minola and Mitamar, where it says, Dirsev, she is accused of committing adultery. And of course she didn't. She did Yibum with Yehuda. And she doesn't want to embarrass you. They say, hey, you're the guy that made me pregnant. And she said, he mutse, she was taken out to be thrown into the fire as a bas kohen. And as a result, she was willing to let herself be killed. He mutse, she was being taken out. He shalcha el chamia, and she sent over to Yehuda, who was a father who had done yibum with her, and said, "Whose belongings are these?" She had taken the eirovon. He didn't have the set to give her for the services, and she took an eirovon from him. She took his wallet, she took his stick, his bag, and she said, "Who these belong to was the one that made me pregnant." If Yehuda had not said anything, she would be willing to be killed, not to embarrass Yehuda. Of course, Yehuda said, "Sot kami meni, she's more righteous than me. In fact, I was the one that made her pregnant. I had done Yibam with her, and as a result, she wasn't killed." And that's why we see from here the idea that Noach lo liodim is preferable for a person to actually be killed. It's one of Tosus in Sota says it's actually an embizrayu, like a tolda of Ritzicha, and therefore it is preferable, since when you drain the blood from the face, you embarrass them. It's like you killed them, and Yehari Ba'yavar, you're not letting them kill somebody else to save your own life. So this Maisa with Tamar is the source for this idea of how important it is not to embarrass somebody in public. With this, we conclude today's shir.